Most regular meeting of Kirby's Town Council in order. And Tommy's not here today, is he?
No, he wasn't able to make it.
Okay. All right. I guess I will do the invocation. Everybody bow your head, please. God grant us the ability to govern this town in the way we should. And please make sure everybody here goes away happy. Amen.
Amen. That's a pretty awesome prayer right there. Good luck.
Pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
We can have.
That was a happy prayer.
That's right. We're going to skip the part about Andy Eberhardt's service. I think Dennis isn't here. Approval of the consent agenda.
Okay, could I ask for something to move
sure.
first?
Mm-hmm.
I would like for items 1, 2, and 3 be moved to number 2 under current business, new business. Under Stormwater and Environmental Committee, I would like to have those letters moved to there, and I would like to also add Barry Nelder's letter to the other three.
So under new business, number 2?
Or can we discuss the town agenda at the same time? Because that was really an item that was brought up at the last meeting and was discussed, and it really needs to be under old business instead of new business, along with the four letters.
I really don't see any need in changing the consent agenda.
So what's the motion, Emily, so I understand the motion? Your motion is to move 1, 2, and 3 from the consent agenda where?
Right now, to under new business number 2 with the Storm and Environmental Committee, since the resignations are with the Storm and Environmental Committee, and add Barry Nelder's letter to them.
Okay, I'll second the motion.
Do you have anybody, do we have anybody that wants to vote on this? I mean,
yes, can we vote?
Okay.
Let me ask a question on that. Keeping it here does not preclude discussion of it under old business.
Except it will have already been taken care of. So I think we need to discuss it.
Number 2 on the new business.
Do I have a vote?
You got to ask. All in favor?
No in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No.
Aye.
No. Is that a no or a yes?
No.
No.
Okay. 3 opposed? Okay, thanks.
So it didn't move. Okay.
Okay. Approval of the consent agenda items has been discussed, and now can we have approval?
Actually, I think you need to now vote to approve it.
Yeah, I'm just going to. Thank you.
Cool.
Good. Good.
Sorry.
Yes.
Keep us straight.
Thank you, Nancy. Can I vote?
Make a motion we approve the consent agenda.
Make a motion we approve the consent agenda.
I move we second.
No. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
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 Thank you. Adoption of the agenda. Do we have any discussion on adoption of the agenda?
So can we add under new business discussion of, as a number 4 under new business, discussion of guidance to committees on drinking at the town park?
Okay.
That's my motion, I guess.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, it's approved.
Make a motion we approve the amended agenda.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. All right, that's done. Now, discussion and consideration of presentations to council. And Al, if you'll step forward. This is Mr. Al Sharp, and he is the Focus Project Director.
First, let me say I'm also a Curlew resident, and I'm also your representative to the Bike and Pedestrian Committee. I'm here in a professional role today to sort of brief you on POCUS. It's a three-year planning initiative, regional. It was funded by HUD. And thank you very much for your invitation. This is, I'm going to go very quickly through that. And what I effectively want to talk about is the region for the next 25 years. What?
There's an arrow that goes that way.
So, just very briefly, we're in the final stretch. We're about a year down from the final report. The final report will be a plan for a regional sustainable development. And what we have is developed a number of information portals for information for the community, the larger community. We've met with about 40 citizen groups, ranging from Surf City to Shalot, a number of neighborhood meetings. Some of them have been really well attended, some of them have been poorly attended. But what we're finding is that there's an enormous amount of consensus in the three-county region, Brunswick, New Hanover, and Bender County, on some key items. We also are finding that there is an increasing dialogue going on in the region because of what we will experience in the future. And let me talk a little bit about what we're going to experience as a basis. We've been gathering demographic trends and analysis. We have population projections for the next 25 years up to 2040. We have done a health and wellness assessment. We have done a regional housing assessment, and we have looked at economic indicators. We also engaged a national firm, Renaissance, to look at data analysis, getting ready for some scenario planning. Scenarios are, as you can understand, a modeling for the future to look at what if we do this, what if we do that, what will the results be. There's been a lot of interest by citizens in terms of advocacy groups, in terms of advocating what they want, but not particularly listening what someone else wants. And so what we've tried to do is create a dialogue. We've also used core communities as examples of what complete communities could mean. Complete communities is a concept in planning that talks about the core of what Americans and North Carolinians and Eastern North Carolinians want in terms of their own community. They want to be safe, they want walkability, they want neighborhood schools, they want environmental sensitivity, they want the opportunity to work, they want their kids to be able to afford to move there if they want to, or their grandchildren to come back to them after they go away to school. So here in Kern Beach, you're already doing a lot of these things, and it's nice to be reinforced on that. All you have to do is look at K for Fisher Boulevard and see what good progress there has been in terms of making our community safer, more appealing, and this is the essence of complete communities. What we are learning is, in terms of this process, is that decision-making tools are not terribly well understood. People are not using analytical tools in order to make decisions. They're not. And what we are saying is that we all would benefit if we use the knowledge that we have, the science and the theory, in order to make strategic decisions. That we need to be building more cooperative relationships. There is all kinds of friction in this region across the Cape Fear between Brunswick and New Hanover County. Pender and New Hanover County cooperate pretty well. They have a shared community college, they have a shared economic development initiative, but in terms of this region working together, clearly Brunswick is often on their own, and we face that when we're talking about ferry costs and tie-ins to Southport, the whole question of how the river is to be used and the transportation crossings. The key thing, and I'll come back to this, is that we're anticipating a huge, absolutely huge population growth in this area. Over the next 25 years, there'll be somewhere between a quarter million and 300,000 more people living in this region than now. So some people would say, well, let's stop it. You really can't. There's no way of pulling up the drawbridge and keeping people out. There are demographic shifts happening. People from the Northeast are moving south. They're moving south because of our quality of life here and the affordability of living here. Also, people are staying here. People who go to UNCW or to the community college system find that they want to stay in the Tri-County area. And all of this means that we are going to be facing an enormous population increase. We're not using a lot of public dialogue in order to make key decisions. So we're kind of balkanized. So there's going to be a discussion on the crossing of the Cape Fear River without a lot of discussion on the impact of the communities. Unless you are actively involved in the Wilmington MPO, then you're not going to hear this discussion. And these kinds of questions have active impact on Curry Beach, Carolina Beach, all of South Brunswick County. And when I get to some maps, we'll look at what happens on that. The other kind of question is that while we're going to receive this massive increase of people, both native-born and people moving in, it's a competitive world. And so we find that in order to preserve our quality of life, to order to recruit jobs, to do things that are important to us, that we find that in this world of internet and instant communication, that we are effectively a much smaller world and need to take in more data and more information to do it. And finally, there is a kind of underlying belief that we can't change our future. It's a cynicism that impacts on local government and on state government. And in fact, if we do use our science and use our knowledge, we can make concerted differences to the future of our lives, our kids, our grandkids. So to get down off the philosophy and get into some of the hard data, this is what it looks like in terms of population forecasts. Somewhere 200,000 to 300,000 people. It doesn't matter. It fundamentally doesn't matter. What it matters is that we are going to be the recipient of a large number of people moving in or wanting to stay here, and it's going to affect the way we live. It's going to affect traffic patterns. It's going to affect housing costs. It's going to affect job opportunities. It's going to affect the airport, the port, all the things that we come to know. And effectively, our pitch and focus is, let's use our knowledge, plan ahead, and be smart about it. So you can see that New Hanover County continues to grow. Brunswick County leaps forward, and Pender County will effectively begin to grow in both coastal Pender and up the I-40 corridor. There are major developments being planned for this region. There is Blake's Farm, which is in Pender County and joins the New Hanover County line. We're talking about 2,500 units. We're talking about 3 million gallons of sewer capacity. We're talking about an increase in commercial development along 17. And you can spot this throughout the region. You can spot this in southern New Hanover County, just across the bridge in terms of Cameron property. You can look at it in terms of the subdivisions that were kind of the zombie subdivisions in Brunswick County, meaning they were half dead, half alive. They're coming back alive. People are buying lock, stock, and barrel all of the finished lots. So what we are saying is that this increase of anywhere from 50 to 90% more is real, and the question becomes, how will it be distributed in the region, and how will local governments and other decision makers make choices and that you want to have? There is no imposition on HUD or no imposition on focus on what the proper answer is. What we really want to do is get the dialogue going. The major issue when you talk to people is jobs. Whether it is people who are living here who are working below their skill level, or college students who want to stay here who can't find viable professional entry jobs, or whether it's trained technical people out of the two community college systems. People want to stay here, and this is the number one concern of every demographic group that we poll. Jobs are the issue. And so this is what will come. As population comes, there will be more rooftops, and there's rooftops mean more commercial, and more commercial means there are some opportunities, but these are not the opportunities that middle class families can depend upon. What we need to find is ways of using our regional assets to have major employers who are effectively able to hire the people who want to stay here, live here, and work here. So this becomes the key issue. The employment profile of this area is that there are a number of people already living here, choosing to live here and commuting out to work 4 or 5 days a week. They commute to the Triangle area, or they fly out to Atlanta, or to D.C., or to New York, and doing this. These are only, and people can afford that are high-end jobs. These are and what there are is thousands of people who are effectively underemployed for their skill levels. And what the region needs to do is to see this resource as something that needs to be developed. Now, why does this matter to Perry Beach? It matters to Perry Beach because increasingly, while we are a beach community, more and more people are living here full time, or they're staying here for the shoulder seasons, or they would live here if they could effectively do some business. Or we're facing blended families where one member of the household has retired, but the other member of the household, or other members, plural, are out in the job market. And so if you look at traffic going over Snow Scott Bridge from Carolina Beach and from Perry Beach, you see an enormous increase in people who are living here, not just here as tourists, and commuting up into New Hanover County to work. The question becomes where in New Hanover County will the jobs be developed, and right now they're being developed on the far side of Wilmington, and that effectively is a 45-minute commute if you're living here on the island, and everybody tries to get around it by slipping up River Road, okay? And so what they do is we are at a point of impasse on College Road, and that's really the only access point, easy access point to I-40. So, when we talk about scenarios and we talk about this distribution, what you're seeing is in this area where this is housing density, and if I can just come around, I won't use the pointer. Here we are at Carolina Beach, and here we are at Perry Beach. And so what we have is this projected future in terms of moderate business growth, moderate population, where we see a concentration in Wilmington in the center of New Hanover County. Now, one fundamental change happens, and we end up having a third or fourth crossing of the Cape Fear River. It changes the dynamic in terms of what happens in southern New Hanover County, and it changes an enormous impact in what happens here on Pleasure Island. Because all of a sudden, there is an alternative route to the industrial corridor that's being developed up 421. So this is moderate growth. And so what this means is that this is that there will be a continuing suburban development. There will be development along the existing corridors. And then there will be a continuing concentration into Wilmington and into the more developed part of New Hanover County. When you ask the leaders in Wilmington, and they are going through their comprehensive planning effort, can you handle 50,000 more people and not change the nature of the city? They're saying no. It will have an enormous impact on Wilmington. And we all here rely on Wilmington for a lot of our services. If you ask them that, what will happen if there's 100,000 people coming into New Hanover County increased over this, It fundamentally changes it from a very easy community to live in to an urban concentration that will be one of the highest in the state. And because of our constraint of land mass and because of the limited sewer and water capacities beyond the area, beyond New Hanover County. So there comes a fairly distinct growth patterns. The rural areas begin to urbanize. There are limits on urban and rural areas because of perking and water and sewer kinds of things. There will be some shift to a rural to an urban shift. People will be commuting. There'll be increased traffic. When we talk about moderate growth centers, where we as intentionally try to put our growth into known areas, in other words, growth nodes, then effectively we get this changing pattern. And one of the growth nodes probably is Carolina Beach and that overflow into Curry Beach. And that means depends on what you as town and city councils do in terms of your zoning ordinances and in terms of your land, long-term land use plans, and whether you want to encourage district sprawl or whether you want to encourage some kind of concentration and distribution of this population. You'll notice that that will increase some higher density in already developed areas, and then so you see emerging patterns here. This is downtown Wilmington, and this is in Mayfair and that area. And what we're seeing now in Mayfair is that we're seeing infill process and height increases. And so these are the kinds of things that are happening. You begin to see some concentration in Leland and in Coastal Pender as other development occurs. The third one is to look at high growth and what happens in terms of high growth. And this becomes a question of there'll be much more sprawl unless we do something to it. And the question is sprawl good or bad? If you happen to want to live in a rural area, then fine, there'll be opportunities. But if you're trying to travel to where the jobs are, you're finding that the longer you drive, the harder it is effectively to deal with transportation issues. And finally, the last alternative that looks at it is the idea of trying to effectively plan for some future uses and these kinds of things. And what we are trying to say in these terms is that starting now, you begin to direct the battleship a little bit with a few degrees. You're not going to radically change the issue, but effectively, as you go through your land use issues, then you will be dealing with some of these effective impacts. So in terms of complete communities, economic opportunity becomes a real issue here. A large percentage of the population in this area are underemployed. There are relatively poor. There are few job opportunities, and not in Curry Beach, but in Wilmington and Denver County, an appreciable recognition that there's some crime issues. Economic opportunity becomes a question of how that interplays with people's life opportunities. Housing and transportation choices. There is a continuing issue on relocation of development in terms of if there are alternative transportation choices, like the bus that comes down 421, then that mitigates somewhat the transportation concerns. The question is, how do you pay for these kinds of things? And this becomes the issue that has to be discussed over the next few years, 25 years. The use of land and infrastructure. When there is already water and sewer in place, it is the most economical way of dealing with increased population. When you effectively have to do extensions of water, sewer, fiber, all of that, it increases the cost of this. And this will factor in the development communities on what pressure they put on existing lots and lands and those kinds of things. One of the second things in terms of job opportunities, other than that, is the environment here. People love the environment. They love the beaches, they love the marshes, they like the river walk. They effectively are very pleased with their home communities. And what we, as a community of 350,000 people, to become 600,000 people, will have to decide is what's the trade-off in terms of our environment versus our other conditions of life. And finally, we know that there's a direct correlation between how we plan our communities and our health. We are fortunate here in terms of having a very walkable community. We have new bike trails. We have ways of getting out on the beach. This is not true other places. And so as we plan our new developments and those kinds of things, health becomes a real issue, and people are willing to effectively use the things that the boardwalk, trails, the park at the Carolina Beach. And as you double your population or increase it by 50 or 75%, there are going to be demands on these kinds of things. So what I really want to talk about is to talk about a complete community. If you take stock on our communities, and there are about 28 communities in independent towns and communities, you take stock on whether there is a complete community. Perry Beach does really well in terms of what we're doing here. Does it mean we ought to sit back and do nothing? No. We really ought to talk about whether there are other ways to maintain our quality of life and our way of being here in terms of the knowledge that we have. So it offers a set of questions, like should we look at mixed-use land uses? Should we take advantage of compact building designs? Should we create a range of housing opportunities? What happens when older people, we'll never get there, of course, want to age out in our own communities? Can we handle everything up being up on one floor up? Are we able to foster uniqueness in our community so that we're just not cookie cutters, South Florida rebuilt? Can we preserve our open space that we have and get access to it? We have an incredible amount of green space behind us, but there's a sign that says do not enter. And so it provides us oxygen and nothing else. Do we provide for transportation choices, whether it is the question of scooters or golf carts or public transit? Can we make choices that are fair in terms of predictable and affordable? And can we make provisions for the next generation? Are we always going to age out on the beach communities and the young and the middle-aged and people raising families, are they going to be able to fill this here? So these are some questions, some policy issue questions that we are going to be taking on in terms of a policy plan. We have used examples in Fifth Avenue in Wilmington to look at complete communities. We've looked at Leland in terms of the Gateway community, in terms of complete community, and in Castlemaine and Coastal Tender. These are four examples in the region where complete communities scorecards can be looked at. We're finding that there is a general agreement that we like what we have, but we need to be smart in terms of what we're going to have in the future. We're going to move forward in terms of our plan, and by the fall we'll have a regional plan, and we'll be happy to sort of decide that too. My time's up, and I appreciate that. And so what I'm saying to you is that thank you for the update. We had, on the 22nd of May, we had an event in that went into much more detail on this, that we had just under 300 people who are actively involved in crafting their future. We hope that you will continue to be involved, and thank you much for your invitation today. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Al, was the Department of Transportation at your meeting?
Excuse me?
Was the Department of Transportation at your meeting?
Yes, it was, and they've been at every one of the community meetings.
And you know what kind of problems they're having with the budget?
They are having incredible problems, and every public entity is having problems with the budget. What we have is the question is, we want things, but we're not willing to pay for them as a society,
yeah.
Okay? But there are trade-offs. Okay? And so if we want roads, or we want transit, public transit, a bus, okay, then we're going to pay for it some way. And what the Board of Transportation or DOT or a city, a town council like yourself are wrestling with is how you reconcile the needs, the wants, and the budget. And that's clearly what ought to be part of the dialogue.
I know that the bridge you mentioned going over the Cape Fear is going to take one quarter of the state's budget.
It's true. The alternative, I'm not arguing with you, I'm very fortunate. The alternative is that we will have effectively, we down here will be, we will have so much congestion getting through New Hanover County that our hour and a half trip to RDU, our 2.5 hours will become 4 hours. The only way to get off Pleasure Island will be the ferry at certain times of the day. So somehow other places solve these problems, and they solve it because they work together. The bridge in Charleston, it took a quarter of their of monies for a few year period, and a lot of federal power brokering. But what it did is it opened up Charleston to access to the north, and it has a fundamental change in terms of what it's done to the three county region there in terms of economic development. We're going to have to solve some of these, and there are no easy answers.
Yep. Any questions?
So is there any recommendations after you work through your process that comes out? So, I mean, I was looking at some of the stuff, density, our land use plan clearly is not adding density in the town. We've set a limit for 35 feet, so there's not going to be density in Curie Beach. One of your four scenarios showed density in Carolina Beach, I think, but that's not going to happen in Curie Beach, right? We don't have new neighborhoods to flesh out because there's no land unless the federal government cuts loose the buffer zone. So what are the recommendations that will come down from your work or your organization's work to Curie Beach to then look at with our P&Z and the council on our land use plan as it is?
Well, you could, first of all, ours will not talk to any one community about what you should do.
Right.
What we'll talk about is models and other things.
Okay.
You could consider an increase in your height restrictions in your downtown area. You could.
Right.
You could consider ancillary buildings. You could consider the idea of rezoning a certain area of the community to increase your density on areas where you're doing it. You could do nothing and let the bulk of the population go to other places. I'm not saying you have to do anything. All I'm saying is the pressure. There are underutilized areas in Curie Beach that, if they're redeveloped, may be more effectively and marginally increase the density there. Where you have a single family house on one floor, you might effectively have duplexes or triplexes.
And that's only if the insurance rates.
Yeah. And
what's the advantage of that for the town? That's what I don't understand. So you're saying people come into the community, and what advantage does that do to the citizens by doing that?
What advantage is, it spreads out your tax liability to a larger number of households. That would be one thing.
Okay.
Okay. It may allow for family members to afford to live here with other family members. In other words, younger couples. And it may be that you'll get to an idea where some people will want to age in place here. There is a tendency for people as they get older to step down in housing size and eventually try to eliminate architectural barriers. And some people may want to age in place here while they have a 3,000 or 4,000 square foot house here. So it gives options, okay?
Well,
there will be a number of people in Wilmington who will be working towards the idea of aging in place and having a pedestrian-centered thing. It's and walking to a lot of those kinds of things.
Okay.
Al, if I can ask a question here, and that is, don't you think it's dangerous to worry about increasing density when you don't have transportation worked out?
No, I think it is dangerous to take any one of these issues singly. Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
Okay.
They're on the same
page. I'm still responding, what could we do on density?
Okay.
The other thing is, you know, our system is that while we have regional data, we don't have to do anything. We could simply say, it's wonderful, I like it, it'll work its way out. Okay? The problem is, some of it will not work its way out. And if at a minimum effort, there will maybe crosswalk issues on Fisher Boulevard, okay, because of the amount of traffic. Or there may be effectively questions of getting ambulances in and out here as our population ages, and we have to go through a traffic congested area to get up to the hospital area. So, all I'm saying is that knowing that there will be an extra 200,000 or 300,000 more people in the next 25 years here, hopefully puts us into a framework of, wait, what are we doing and what's the long term?
Yeah, ma'am. I attended your meeting in May, and I was very impressed by the diversity of people there throughout the three counties, and that's why I invited you to come and talk to us. I think what I would like to see us do is to take this seriously enough to start looking at where we want to be or will have to be 20, 25 years from now. I mean, we were just talking about that this morning in some of our evaluation sessions, of the changes that Curie Beach is undergoing right now and in the coming year, and what are we going to do about it, you know, in our next budget session next year. And it's almost like a right now a band-aid approach with, we'll grab a place for a parking lot now, but what about 5, 10, or 25 years from now? If we decide we do not want to grow at all, we're not going to increase our height limit, we're not going to take like the historic area and make it into a really dense thing, we're going to leave it like it is, we still have an enormous number of people coming here to visit, which could just explode. Not to mention the ones that will start living, more of them living here year round, which could about double our population and have it more year-round than like it is now. And I think every one of our department heads and every one of our committees need to seriously start asking themselves, what do we need 20, 25 years from now? What do we need for law enforcement? What will we need for fire protection? What, you know, what will we need in infrastructure?
I think your basic question is really important to plan ahead. But 25 years ahead is too far. If anyone has a five-year plan and are able to pull that off, then we all want to take our hats off to you, okay? I've been a county manager in a number of places, and I've been a COG director in Charlotte, okay? 5 years is an amazing horizon, and so many things change. And you also, you're all doing a lot of good things. If you take your scorecard and talk about walkability and appearance and the things you've done and the heat you've taken on some of your decisions, you know, you're already doing it. All I'm trying to do is wrap it into a larger context so that you effectively know that you're not in isolation. New Hanover County is doing a comprehensive plan. Mm-hmm. City of Wilmington is doing a comprehensive plan. Okay? Wrightsville Beach has had a series of comprehensive plans in terms where they established longer range priorities and set goals. And so I'm saying to Curie Beach as a professional, not just as a resident, and every other community in here, come on now, gang, let's plan our future. Do what you want, but at least get on board with the idea of planning. Chaloux, everyone used to joke about Chaloux. They're doing a wonderful job in terms of new urbanism. They are doing infill. They are doing a river walk. They are doing living in place. They are working for adult populations. They've got a branch belt. They've got a branch this, a branch that. It's because they've set some longer range plans. No one's advocating that for Curry Beach. But effectively, Carolina Beach is the second largest town in New Hanover County. Mm-hmm. And everything they do affects us in terms of Kicker Boulevard there, or Dow Road. And so, you know, it's what's coming. So, thank you for your patience. I'm on the verge of becoming a preacher, and I need to stop.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Charlie Allen, please step up and tell us about your ad hoc tactic committee.
Evidently, my name is Charlie Allen, 954 Fort Division Boulevard South. I have a problem with communication. There's a big misunderstanding about this ad hoc committee. The committee, look at the committee as a fact-gathering organism. Look at its resource as the town, meaning the brain. And the brain is each and every individual, every department, every committee, contributing to the information required to lessen the traffic, reduce hazards, and present options as far as solutions are concerned. And my approach, quite frankly, is to be less of an intrusion than absolutely necessary, or cut the intrusion down as much as necessary. Yeah. There will be no meetings. There will be no minutes. But you will get a continual update as to where the committee is at in part as we go along. That statement's a little bit misleading because I'm saying where the committee is at, and actually the committee is generating more or less a direction, and then the department heads and the community input is giving some solidarity to the direction, if you understand where I'm coming from. My attitude is that the committee should not be generating problems for any of the departments in the town. Every request that will be made to them will be at their convenience. In other words, when they're willing and able to speak, and we're not creating a problem for them functioning normally. When we make a request, the request will be, they'll answer it when we can, as we can. It's not going to be any, well, I need it by this date. Hopefully, the committee will be finished with its job, I'm saying hopefully, by the end of next year. It's a complicated process. I've got six people that have said that they'd be glad to be a committee member, and six people that I think will be very helpful. The only thing I'm waiting for, and I need it, because I will not start communicating with anyone until the town council formally approves the committee's position. Do you have any questions?
The no minutes is the only question I have.
The minutes are really unnecessary there for one very simple reason. Because everything that is done will be continually transmitted to the town. It's an open thing. It's almost like we're standing around on the corner talking, and anyone who wants to drop in can hear what we've got to say. And then after we've said it, if no one was around, we go ahead and send out a message, well, this is what we talked about. It's going to be a continual thing.
I think, Charlie, there may not be minutes on what happens in each actual meeting, but you do intend to publish potential solutions, I think. Or there is going to be an output for the meeting, or no?
It is my intent that any time the committee has come up with somewhat of a suggestion, when I say a suggestion, I mean that the community needs to consider, the department heads need to consider, what town council needs to consider, then information will go out on that. In other words, it's you're operating on real time. There's no sense for minutes when you're operating on real time. There's no sense for having being concerned with open meetings laws, because there's nothing done undercover. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
I understand that this concept is rather
revolutionary,
extremely unusual, all right? And it presents complications from the standpoint of open meetings law, and that's why I say it's an ad hoc committee. And that's why I'm saying the public will not be left out. The public, as a matter of fact, is an essential part of the program. It cannot be left out. There's nothing that's going to be done behind closed doors or anything like that. There's no picking and choosing as to what's going to go into it. Any and all options that are open to the town to resolving the problem will go in on the final draft. The public will have the final draft. The committee will not make any decision or make any recommendations. It may give some weight, and this is a subjective factor, it might give some weight to some of the proposals, but that's going to be subjective. It will depend on the community's will to continue in that direction or desire to continue in that direction. These things are kind of hard to weigh when you're doing something like, how likely is it? And there's another point. If at any time there's an item on the list that you say, well, dealing with traffic and traffic flow and so forth, can you handle this now? I can only speak as an individual right now because I haven't consulted with committee which is non-existent at this time, other than a loosely assembled. But my opinion would be that if it is within the confines of the description of a committee and council or some department would like us to handle something in that area, as long as we can handle it as a composite, meaning don't put a time limit on it, because as far as I'm concerned, anything that's going to come from the committee has got to be complete, and it has got to go through the town. When I say through the town, I mean the residents of the town. They have got to know what's there. And then we'll go ahead and submit it. If council has at any time any problem with the way the committee is functioning, as far as I'm concerned, any time any member of council as a problem of how we're functioning, they're more than free to come up and say, listen, I got a problem with this, and I will either answer it, or if I disagree with them as far as the committee standards are concerned, then I will suggest to them that they come back to you, the council, and recommend that we be disbanded, and I will have absolutely no problem.
Thank you. Were you going to say something?
Yeah, so I think Craig's point was, Charlie, you're asking us to approve you and six people who we all know who are to go off and study traffic and then at least as I understand his point, is your intention the committee's going to come back with, here's the recommendations on how to deal with traffic issues that we're concerned about?
No.
So then what are you going to do? That's what I'm trying to figure out, right?
If you went to a private firm and said, we've got problems with traffic flow and safety.
Right.
Give us all the options you can think of to help resolve that.
Okay.
They will come down and they will check it out and make
right.
gather data and whatnot.
And we have a contract with them, which
right.
the public can review the contract.
Come back, they're
That's
not
right.
going to choose anything.
Okay.
They're going to give you a complete set of data, the pros and cons, and then you as council are going to decide what you want to do. Look at this committee the same way as you would.
But you're not a private firm, Charlie. And so the issue is we have guidelines for committees that the town has approved that you're asking us to kind of go around,
yeah.
right? So I'm fine with making a committee to study traffic if enough citizens are telling us that's an issue, which I live at E Avenue across the road, so I understand the traffic issues, right? So I'm fine with saying, hey, who's interested in studying traffic for the town? Go do that. But they have to fall under the committee guidelines that the council's established for any other thing that we do that day.
Okay.
Right? And so, you know, that doesn't mean it has to be burdensome or onerous, but the council should understand when you come up with, here's our recommendations, we should be able to figure out, and so should the public, how you got there. That's what the reason for having minutes is to understand.
I'm down there. I have that on my list.
Well, but I'm just responding to what you said, right? You know, the minutes don't have to be word for word. Many of the committee minutes are not. But they do say these six people talked about these three things, right? And they're open to the public so people can figure out what happened, right?
And you have to hold the committee meeting and a special time, special
Exactly day. Right. And the other thing is, the reason the committees say when their meetings are is so that if the public's interested, they can come and sit there and listen to what happened.
In other words, what you're telling me, and I hear what you're saying, David, there is absolutely no way of doing it the way I'm suggesting, because this is the way government has it set up.
No, that's different. You're asking a different question. Separately, you could just not get the approval of council and go out with your six people and write a report to council and present it saying, here's what we've looked at in traffic and here's our recommendation. That's totally separate, because then as a private entity, you're petitioning your government. You can do that. You can get put on the agenda and do exactly what you talked about without us saying there's an ad hoc committee.
Here's my problem, David. I will not interfere with department heads and present asking information unless I get the blessing of the town.
Any citizen in the town can ask department heads questions. And since you said it's at their leisure, I would expect them to respond to you at their leisure. Any citizen in the town that went to Dennis Cooper or Sonny Beaker and asked questions, I would expect the department heads to respond back to them in a reasonable amount of time. And they do that all the time. They tell us, these citizens have asked these questions and here's our response. So that happens now.
Normally, okay, I appreciate what you're saying there, and that would satisfy my concerns up to a point, but it doesn't satisfy my concern of communicating with the public, and the town hall would be an important aspect there. As far as transmitting information out and getting information back, but the committee has to work.
Well, then you should go under the operations of a formal committee. You can go either way. I'm fine with both. I think
Nancy,
you can get where you want.
Yeah, Nancy would like to have the minutes, and the general public can see them on the website.
And you know, if you
some loose minutes.
Separately, you could petition as a private citizen and come to council and say, I would like to put a survey about traffic on the website. Will you do that for me? The town would probably do that, and Nancy would make the survey and it would go on our website in a timely fashion. We do that now. So we've had surveys that were not from committees, but were from individuals asking questions that we did in the town. So, I mean, I think there's ways to get there. What I'm asking you is pick one or the other. You don't get this hybrid thing where you get the best of both and avoid all the minutia of the other. I just don't think that's right.
I hear what you're saying.
Right.
Okay. And since to me, one of the essential items is, because I've got six people that are volunteered, and they're not going to all make it at the same time, nor will I be able to make it at the same time. Or as far as communication is concerned, I think I'm going to, if I talk to the six members, I'll find out. But I think I'm going to have to go from the standpoint, okay, we can communicate as individuals, and then we'll make a request when anytime we're doing things, we'll make a request that council approve that it goes out on emails and so forth.
I think that's fair.
Is that sufficient?
Yes. I think it is. Do you guys agree?
Okay, I can live with that.
Okay.
I can live with that.
Okay.
So you're going to talk to your six guys or girls and you get back to us?
Sure enough.
Yes, sir. Thanks.
Thank you.
The next person to address council will be Mr. Michael Benton. Please give your name and address.
My name is